Welcome to this Monday edition of Family Talk. Thanks for starting your week out with us. I'm Luann Crane, here with your host, psychologist and author Dr. James Dobson, and co-host Ryan Dobson.
Well, today we're going to tackle one of the most important social issues of our day, and I can't wait to get into it. Dad, take it away.
Well, thank you, Ryan and Luann. Our program today, as you know, will focus on the institution of marriage, which is rocking and reeling like a ship on a stormy sea. It began, of course, in the Garden of Eden more than 5,000 years ago when the Creator said in Genesis 2:24, "For this cause a man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they both shall be one flesh." That was the beginning of the family, and it's been honored in law and practice ever since, everywhere humankind has taken root. But now it's in serious peril, and it's about to be thrown on the ash heap of history. And we at Family Talk are extremely concerned about the catastrophic upheaval that will occur spiritually and culturally, and certainly within the family, if that occurs. And it's why we want to talk today with five ministry leaders who share our grave concern at this time. One of them, Dr. Ken Hutcherson, called me last week and said, "We absolutely must do what we can to preserve the institution of marriage, especially in view of what the courts and our president are doing to bring it down." So on the basis of that conversation, we've put together a conference call. It's going to be difficult to get all these voices coordinated, but we're going to do the best we can. With us first is Bishop Harry Jackson, who we just learned is in Israel at this moment. It's beyond 11 o'clock at night. And more serious than that, Bishop Jackson has walking pneumonia. So you talk about making a sacrifice to be with us today. Harry, thank you for doing that.
Thank you, Dr. Dobson. I wouldn't miss it. I think the nation has walking pneumonia. And if we don't stop it, this thing could become fatal.
How seriously ill are you, so we know how to pray for you?
Oh, it's really a matter of balance and rest at this point. And so the good news, the doctor just left me. You know, we're on that post-cancer recovery track. And bad news is my immune system, seemingly each spring, winter, spring transition hasn't learned how to kick in yet. It will, and we'll get over this.
Well, you're senior pastor of Hope Christian Church in Washington, D.C., and you're the founder and chairman of High Impact Leadership Coalition and a number of other things. Also with us today is Dr. Jim Garlow, who is an author, historian, cultural observer, and the senior pastor of Skyline Wesleyan Church in San Diego, California. He and his fellow pastors and colleagues in California led the effort to pass Proposition 8, affirming marriage as being between one man and one woman. It was an enormous victory, and that's why it's being attacked so viciously today in the courts, and we'll be talking about that. Also, I already mentioned Dr. Ken Hutcherson, who is a former NFL football player. He's an author. He's a senior pastor of Antioch Bible Church in Kirkland, Washington. He is also the founder of the May Day for Marriage events that I participated in up there in Seattle and in Washington, D.C., and it's where I became acquainted with Ken, I call him Hutch, if that's okay. And he is one of my best friends, and I appreciate him so much. Also with us today by phone is Gary Bauer, who served in President Ronald Reagan's administration for 8 years as Undersecretary of Education and as President Reagan's chief domestic policy advisor. I met him in the White House, and he is still doing great work through his organization, American Values. Also, and finally, Tony Perkins is with us. He is an author and the president of the Washington-based Family Research Council. I had a little something to do with that in the beginning. He's a former member of the Louisiana legislature and is recognized as a legislative pioneer for authoring measures such as the nation's first marriage covenant law. All right, let's begin with you, Hutch. Why did you call me last week? What was it? What was the nature of the concern? I know it's about the family, but put it into words. And what led you to ask for this conversation by phone today?
I think the number one issue for me was looking at what was happening with marriage in our country today and just seeing the president and the Department of Justice with Holder saying that they would no longer defend the Defense of Marriage Act, DOMA, and that just got under my skin so badly that I wrote an open letter to the president and just allowed him to hear my concerns about what that stand meant to marriage in America. And then I thought that this was going to be something that we need to get the church behind, we need to get leaders behind, we need to get Christian ministries behind. And I said, well, I'm going to start making phone calls. And as of right now, we probably have over 26 pastors and ministries that is just joining with us. And I think that that is because of the biblical call that God established in the Old Testament, that we should know how powerful the multitude is. The New Testament says that they refused to even come and touch Jesus for so many of his years, the 3 years that he ministered, because they feared the people. They feared the people. They feared the people. You can see that in Mark. You can see it in Matthew. You can see it in John. You can see it in Luke. And it wasn't until the multitude in the garden dock that was on the soldier side when they had guts enough to arrest Jesus. Yeah. So we need to know that it's important for all of us to stand together, and the multitude brings fear to none. Believing secular world.
Dr. Garlow, I want to ask you to speak next, and then we will take it as it comes. Talk about that battle in California for Proposition 8. I mean, it was an uphill struggle all the way, and yet you won. The majority of the people of California said that marriage is and will be in the Constitution. An institution involving one man and one woman, and you won. And now the courts are taking it away from the people of California. What sticks in your craw when you think of that?
Well, for one, we're not going to give up. We're going to press forward. It is true that it seems that the secularists do really hate democracy. They don't like it when the people speak out, so they try to get a judge or judges to try to take away the consent of the governed. But we're fully intending to stand and do everything possible. When you were here with us, Dr. Dobson, and I cannot address this topic without saying you've been at this for, what, 4 or 5 decades. You've been at this consistently in this battle, and thank you for standing and being a major lightning rod for the family. It's shocking to me that anybody would be attacked for standing up for the family or standing for a marriage, or that a child needs a mommy and a daddy. Who would think we'd be in such a condition that somebody would be attacked for that? But thank you for standing, and we plan to continue to stand ongoing. You were here at the culmination of a 40-day fast where tens of thousands of Californians were fasting for 40 days. And you were there when we had 33,000 of them gathered in Qualcomm Stadium. You spoke to us that day, and we just do not believe that somehow the power of the enemy is going to break through and totally destroy the definition of the family. We're going to stand firm. The social science is on our side, overwhelmingly so. The practical implications are on our side. And the biblical data is on our side. I just pray we can get all who call themselves followers of Christ to realize the extent of the importance of this one issue. Everything rises and falls on this one issue if we fully understand the implications of what's at stake here.
Dr. Dobson, this is Gary Bauer. This is a critical time for our country. This country is suffering greatly because of the breakdown of the family. We've got more and more of our children who are being raised in homes, either in most cases without a father, sometimes without a mother, and the result of that family breakdown is causing problems in crime and education performance, truancy, drug use, all sorts of issues. And what are the liberal elites of our country doing, whether it's the media elites or even the president or our judicial elites, et cetera, the people in Hollywood, instead of devoting their energy to trying to stop this destruction of the American family and to do something to make sure our children have mothers and fathers, they're all spending their time promoting instead men marrying men and women marrying women, which will guarantee that more children will have either not fathers or mothers. It is just a bizarre concept. The other thing that really disturbs me is that some Christians are buying into this argument that, well, I'm not in favor of same-sex marriage, but so what if we have it? It doesn't affect my marriage. It doesn't affect my family. Well, we've all seen where same-sex marriage has been put into law in Europe, in Massachusetts, and other places. It ends up consuming all other rights. It ends up ultimately threatening religious liberty because religious organizations and churches are forced to accept same-sex marriage. It affects children in school because they end up being taught that a man marrying a man is the moral equivalent of a mother and a father marrying and bringing children into the world. So this is an issue that is of the utmost point of importance for all families, and it's an issue that the church must stand up and be counted on right now.
Tony, that brings us to you.
Well, I think there's some good news and bad news here in what the administration has done. The president and the Justice Department stepping away, saying they will not defend the Federal Defense of Marriage Act, which originated at the Family Research Council back when Gary was the president, is somewhat good news because the president and his administration was really not defending it. In their briefs in court, when they argued, they said, well, we're bound by law to defend it, but we don't agree with it. So it was getting a very weak defense in the court. So now with them stepping away, House Speaker John Boehner is moving in, and the House is going to defend it. So I do think we're going to get strong defense of the law in the court. But here's the bad news. This is where I think Christians need to be concerned. It really touches what Gary just said, because what we're seeing happening is this marginalization of anyone who stands in the way of the homosexual agenda. Mm-hmm. And increasingly what we're finding is pastors, churches, Christians are silencing themselves out of fear of being seen as, I don't know if it's politically incorrect or exactly what, but in this silence, they're moving forward rapidly with this agenda. So this is critical because this is going to find its way to the Supreme Court within the next 18 to 24 months. And I can assure you, the court would like people to think they're not political, but they're gauging the public's reaction to this. And that, in large part, is going to determine which way they go in this case.
You know, what's at stake is the Defense of Marriage Act, which passed in the Congress 427-81 in both houses of the Congress and was signed by Bill Clinton. And yet our president says it's not constitutional. Does that sound rather arrogant to you men? I mean, it almost usurps the role of the federal judges and justices.
It is arrogant and hypocritical, Harry Jackson talking. It's really dangerous. President Obama really has been working against marriage. He says he's for marriage. He's got a lot of our minority folks duped into thinking that he is pro-marriage. He is not. Everybody needs to know that the day after he made his announcement, they passed the same-sex marriage law in Maryland at the Senate level. And had it not been for leaders representing about 2,500 churches in Maryland walking the aisles of the State House and knocking on doors and really lifting their voice on behalf of Christians, it would have absolutely passed in Maryland because of the president's change in stance. And I just want to repeat what Tony just said. We need the people to speak up. Hutch, you've been doing it. You said it at the very beginning. You're my hero in these matters, and I'm following really your example from that May Day event in Washington, D.C. And we can turn this around, but we can't do it passively. And if we pray without action, that really is a lack of faith. There's got to be engagement.
Dr. Dobson, Jim Garlow here. I was on a talk show on this issue, and the talk show host, who's well-known nationally, turned to somebody in the audience, and he said, asked the classic question. It's a question that Gary said to us a moment ago. So what difference does this gay marriage make to your marriage? You can go ahead and be a couple. You're still fine as a heterosexual couple. What harm is there in a homosexual couple? And the particular person who was asked was on the front row in this studio audience in Los Angeles, happened to be a member of my church who knew the answer but froze in that moment on national television, just froze and could not answer. And half the audience was from the homosexual marriage group, and they started yelling and taunting her very aggressively. And I have found that that was a microcosm of a macro problem across America, where the average Christian cannot answer that question. Now, she froze because she was on national television and nervous. She knew the answer, but just couldn't produce it in that moment, that intensity. But most people cannot answer that question. And I want to reiterate what Gary said a moment ago. What comes back to hit us so hard, and people do not realize, that if homosexual marriage and the validation of homosexual relations goes through with the way this administration desires, there will be an enormous loss of personal freedoms, a staggering loss of religious liberty, and tremendous loss of parental rights. Parents will not be allowed to teach their children what they once taught in terms of biblical truth. And we have case examples of that, people being thrown out of the public school system, effectively thrown out, if they tried to stand up against homosexuality taught as normal and practiced and right. So we have an enormous, enormous storm coming at us in homosexual marriage, unlike anything we've ever faced. Abortion was not this way, as horrible as abortion is, but this is the first social issue that if we lose on, the proclamation of the gospel is crushed underfoot.
Amen.
Man.
Tony?
Absolutely
Jim,
true.
Gary? Harry? Dr. D?
Yes?
I just want to let you guys know, thank you so much for standing to protect marriage. And I want you guys to know that I will have you back. One of my greatest weaknesses is I am loyal to a fault, and I am willing to go to jail for every one of you. If they come at us, let it be after me, and I will stand and could care less what any man thinks or do, because we're going to win if we can get the people and the multitude and the church to wake up and do what is necessary for us to win this battle.
Jim Garlow, referring to what Dr. Hutcherson and Bishop Jackson just said, I believe it's accurate to say that without the African-American vote in California, Proposition 8 probably would have gone down to defeat. Is that right?
That's accurate. We had about 46-47% of Anglos, about 49% of Asians, 56% of Hispanics. And it's a bit contested, but probably 70% of African-Americans. So it was carried by the African-American. We knew the polling when we got down just a few weeks away, and then we really knew the polling when we were just a few days away, that the Hispanics and African-Americans were going to have to carry it. And quite frankly, they saved our state.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm so glad they did. Let me turn a corner and share something with you all that was handed to me this afternoon that's relevant to what we're talking about here, because I think it will give us a foretaste of the kind of legislation that will be forthcoming, probably from Congress, but the states as well, if we lose this battle. Let me read the statement. Quote, next Wednesday, March 16th, in other words, it was several days ago, the Education Committee of the California Senate will hold a hearing to consider Senate Bill 48, which was drafted by Senator Mark Leno of San Francisco, and which would require that social science curriculum, this is in the public schools, include the role and contributions of homosexuals in California and American history, with particular emphasis on portraying the role of these groups in contemporary society. Now, listen to this. The bill also mandates that no content may reflect adversely on any population. Doesn't matter what the behavior, what the circumstances, it cannot be negative in any context. And in effect, Leno's bill would force feed students with positives of the homosexual culture while concealing from students any negative portrayal of the personalities or lifestyles. This seems to me that even though I haven't read the bill yet, it's a mechanism for indoctrination and manipulation of children from kindergarten to grade 12.
As soon as the same-sex marriage is rolled out, the curriculum is changed to aggressively promote homosexuality on par with heterosexuality. It happened to David and Tanya Parker in Lexington, Massachusetts, where David actually was arrested because he wouldn't leave the school property, seeking to have assurances that his child would not be taught that homosexuality is the same as heterosexuality and same-sex marriage the same as traditional marriage. There is complete intolerance in those pushing this agenda in our schools. And so this goes back to the question Gary raised, the rhetorical question he asked earlier. How will this affect my marriage? Will it affect your family? Because your children will be taught that this is normal, and it will be aggressively taught to them, and they'll be indoctrinated into the ways of homosexuality.
And that particular case, this is Jim Garlow again, when Dave Parker went into that school in Lexington, Massachusetts, Massachusetts had opt-out laws, so therefore you should be able to opt your child out of a class on sexuality. And the rationale of the school was this: since it's legal here in our state, homosexual marriage, therefore what we're discussing when we affirm homosexuality is not sexuality, it's homosexuality. Therefore, it's totally legal, and you have no right to opt your child out because it's legal in our state. And that's the kind of intolerance that is ahead for every one of our listeners.
Dr. Dotson, I'm assuming and hoping that everybody that listens to your show hears the passion of these good gentlemen today. This is an incredible risk to our country and to our faith. And the last thing I know any of us want is for people to just throw up their hands and say, well, what can I do? There's nothing I can do. There are things you can do, and that's why this show is so important.
We are out of time, but we're not through talking. And if you all don't mind, we're just going to continue the conversation and record it and let our listeners hear next time. But the question for the next half hour will be, what can we do? Mm-hmm. I wish we had time to answer that question now. We will answer it on the next broadcast. Can you guys stay with us?
Yes.
Okay, we will just continue in a moment. Luann and Ryan, take us off for today, and what we're about to record will be heard next time. I hope that's clear.
It is.
Thank you, gentlemen, for today, and we will be with you in a moment.
Thanks so much.
Well, as you can tell, we are flying fast here in the close of this Family Talk broadcast. Our thanks again to this distinguished panel of guests. We will pick it up right here next time. In the meantime, you really need to go to myfamilytalk.com to check out some very valuable follow-up resources that we have there.
We heard Dr. Garlow give some great rationale on how dangerous it will be if the definition of marriage is changed, and he's allowed us to post the educational materials he provided to his church during the Prop 8 battle, and we've got it at myfamilytalk.com. So you'll be able to access this information so you can be ready to give an answer on why you support traditional biblical marriage.
I've read it, Ryan. It is excellent and something every Christian family needs. It's imperative to have it. Also at myfamilytalk.com, sign up for updates from some of these very knowledgeable men on this issue. You can even receive personal updates via text from Dr. Ken Hutcherson. Again, myfamilytalk.com, or give us a call for any of this information, 877-732-6825.
And if you'd like to support us as we continue to bring you updates on cultural issues like this that affect you and your family, we could really use your help. The past few months, donations have been down quite a bit, so any gift would be very timely.
And you can give online at myfamilytalk.com. Ryan, we're especially excited about our donation matching program right now, where every single gift that listeners give will be doubled. Go online to myfamilytalk.com for all the details. Or give us a call, that number one last time, 877-732-6825. Thanks for listening, and be sure to join us next time for the rest of this conversation.